call this meeting of the City of Junction City City Council to order on this Tuesday, December 14th, 2021 at 6:30 PM. And if everyone would please join me, the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Welcome our audience and guests tonight. And we'll do roll call. Counselor Ken Wells.
Here.
Counselor John Gamby.
Here.
Counselor Sandy Thomas.
Here.
Counselor Andrea Seneca.
Here.
Counselor Sid Washburn.
Here.
And Counselor Karen Leach.
Here.
Welcome, everybody. Is there any changes to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on to the approval of the minutes from November the 9th, 2021. Is there any corrections or additions to those?
Madam Mayor, I make a motion that we approve the minutes for November 9th, 2021.
Okay. It's been moved. Do I get a second?
I'll second that.
And seconded that we approve the minutes from the November 9th meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. And they are approved unanimously. We'll move. Is there any public comment that are on items not listed on the agenda? Anyone from our public? Oh, okay. Yes, we do have.
My name is Darren Olson. I live at 1715 West First Avenue. I'm just wondering, is the property on Bailey Lane between Prairie and Pitney, is that the city's property? It's got the big open area. And my one thought, well, a couple of thoughts. One, is it possible, if it is the city's, to make that a walking trail around the outside of that area that's on, again, that big open area on Bailey between Pitney and Prairie. I think it's on the north side of the road. Must be like, if you walked all the way around, it must be like 0.6 of a mile. I mean, it would be a nice big walk, and I could just see lots of people going there and just walking around that big area. That's one thing. And if that would go through, and that'd be a possibility, I'm sure there would be churches in the area that would say, hey, we'll sponsor that, like such as the Church of the Nazarene would say, hey, we'll sponsor that and we'll keep it clean if you guys make sure there's a path there for us to walk. So just an idea, because it's a nice big wide open area, and if the city does own it and it's just sitting there, I think that might be a possibility. That's all.
Thank you for sharing that. I'll check and see if it is city owned. If it is, I'll turn it over to committee.
Very funny.
Can you touch base with me tomorrow and show me what piece you're talking about? Because we do own a piece over there, but not the whole piece. So
okay,
just give me a call tomorrow. We can meet out there.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Ready? We'll move on now to the public hearing on the annexation and rezone of the Booth Street. And should I turn this over to you, to the technician Andrews, or do I go ahead and read this first? Okay. I now open the public hearing on the annexation and rezone of property on Booth Street, Lane County map and tax lot number 16-04-20-00-3400-3500-3600-3700 A-21-15 and RZ-21-16 at 6:35 p.m. The hearing will be conducted in accordance with the Junction City Municipal Code and State Law ORS 197.763. Specifically, the staff will first present the staff report and recommendation. The applicant will then have an opportunity to present the proposal and address any issues raised by the staff report and recommendation. For public testimony, I will first ask to hear from people who would like to speak in favor of the proposal. I will then ask to hear from people who have neutral comments or questions about the proposal, neither for nor against. Finally, those in opposition to the proposal will have an opportunity to present testimony. City staff may then present additional material and recommendations based on the public testimony. The applicant will be given the opportunity to provide final rebuttal. After each presentation, I will ask for questions from the council. We are recording this hearing, and if you intend to present oral testimony, please clearly state your name and address when you are called to speak. This will help in preparing accurate written minutes of the hearing and also assist with mailing copies of the decision to all interested parties. If you have written testimony or other evidence to submit, please give that to staff so it can be entered into the record. Conflict of interest, ex parte contacts, bias. The council is required to disclose any conflicts of interest and ex parte contacts that we have with the proposal or applicant. That is, whether we have any financial or other personal interest in the proposal and whether we have spoken with anyone about the proposal outside of this hearing. Also, counselors may only participate if they can do so without undue bias, either for or against the application. Do any counselor wish to make disclosures? Okay. Are there any challenges from the audience as to conflicts of interest, ex parte contacts, or bias related to any member of the council? State law requires me to tell you a number of things at the beginning of the hearing. First, the applicable substantive criteria that apply to this application are contained in the written staff report and will be identified and discussed in the oral staff report. Second, your testimony, arguments, and evidence must be directed towards these criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or development code that you believe apply to this application, ORS 197.7635B. Third, fail to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker or other people an opportunity to respond may preclude appeal of a decision on this application based on that issue, ORS 197.7635C. Finally, to the applicant, fail to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specific to allow the city to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court, ORS 197.7963B. We will now have the staff report from planning staff. And I'll turn it over to Planner Adam Andrews, and I think we also have an LCOG representative, Paula Taylor. So, Terry.
Thank you, Your Honor. I, in turn, am going to ask Planner Taylor to review the staff report with you.
Good evening, everyone. I hope you can hear me. My name is Paula Taylor. I work at LCOG. I work with Henry Hurley, who is the primary planning contact at LCOG for Junction City, but he has a conflict tonight, and I will be filling in for him. As noted, planning technician Andrews has asked us to assist in processing this application. You should have in your packet or before you the PowerPoint slides that you can follow along with this presentation. First, we're going to begin with a little bit of background on the application, talk about what is being requested by the applicant, talk about some relevant goals, policies, and other approval criteria, and also talk about some agency referral comments. As you may have seen in your packets, we'll also discuss about whether or not the city wants to include the adjacent rights of way in the annexation area, annexation request. The city is not required to include the rights of way, and the inclusion of the rights of way will not affect the outcome of the annexation and zone change requests. The applications were first submitted on August 27th, 2021. There's an annexation request and a concurrent zoning change request. Terry mailed out the notices to the nearby property owners on September 24th and also published a copy of the notice for both the Planning Commission and the City Council hearings and notices in the local newspaper. Those dates are outlined in the staff report in detail. On September the 7th, we sent a DLCD notice of the pending change to the zoning map and the comp plan map. The criteria for tonight are section 17.145 amendments, 17.165.110 annexation in consistency with the comp plan, and Oregon statewide planning goals. Annexation statutory requirements found in ORS Chapter 222 are also applicable. Each of the criteria is fully addressed in the staff report and findings. So the next slide shows the area in red as the subject property as submitted under consideration for annexation and rezoning this evening. It is located east of Highway 99 and has access via Booth Street. The property has frontage on both Dreyas Way and Booth Street. Water and sewer access is expected to occur from Dreyas Way. The main approval criteria for an annexation is that the property is to be annexed is contiguous with the existing city limits. As you'll see from the map on the next page, the property is contiguous with existing city limits along the western property boundary, and that slide is also the comp plan map. This map shows the comprehensive plan map. The subject property is outlined in black. The existing city limits is denoted with a red line. The blue arrow also is pointing to the city limits. The existing city limits is coterminous or contiguous with the proposed property for annexation along the western boundary line. Another important thing to note here is that the property is designated as industrial on the comp plan map. The proposed zoning to be applied once it's within the city is light industrial. The proposed zoning of the property is consistent with the comprehensive plan designation. Now we're going to discuss some of the right-of-way conversations that have arisen. So the map that's labeled Detachment A, this map shows the annexation area, and that's the green, as it was included, as it was submitted. If the city council decides to include the two rights of way that have been suggested, then those are delineated by a gray color for Booth Street and a yellow color for the segment of Mill Run Road that was recommended for annexation. The Mill Run Road is partially in the city limits up to just past the intersection with Dreyas Way. Booth Street is entirely out of the city limits. If the council decides to include these rights of way in the annexation, the streets will be considered inside the city. The city is not required to annex these streets, and it is solely at the council's discretion and will not affect the analysis of the proposed annexation area and rezone. Mill Run is designated as a Lane County road. If it's included in the annexation and brought into the city, not much will change because it's still under the jurisdiction of Lane County and will remain within Lane County's jurisdiction until a jurisdictional transfer occurs. Because a jurisdictional transfer will not occur, the maintenance and upkeep would still be the responsibility of Lane County. Booth Street, on the other hand, is not an officially recognized Lane County road. It's a local access road. If Booth Street is included in the annexation, it will be within the jurisdiction of the city and be managed consistent with city policies. The council has the option to include the adjacent rights of way in the annexation. It does not have to. Lane County has provided comment that they would strongly recommend including adjacent rights of way. If the streets are included, the city would have greater control over what happens on those streets, and it might make better planning sense because the city will be having an industrial use that's within the city, but the roads to get to that use are not in the city. Since Booth Street is not improved to city standards, the city will require frontage improvements of the applicant once development does occur. It's also worthy to note that Lane County does have a policy for streets within urban growth boundaries that they defer to local city standards for improvements. So if the streets are not in the city limits, there is still a chance that the city to require that they be built to city standards. Also, having city streets that access property within the city makes it easier for service providers to get service installed in those streets. There's less red tape they have to go through and generally less confusion about which jurisdiction provides authority for the streets. Lastly, the city's transportation system plan, the TSP, does envision that the entirety of Miller Run will be built to city standards. If Miller Run were included in the city limits, the city would be furthering that goal in the TSP to build Miller Run to city standards running from the west urban growth boundary to the east urban growth boundary. Your packet included goal MV21, which states that Miller Run will be constructed to major collector standards, including bike lanes and sidewalks from the west urban growth boundary to the east urban growth boundary. So the Junction City Planning Commission considered the annexation and rezoning on October the 20th of this year. A public hearing was held and the Planning Commission discussed the proposals. The Commission's recommendation to the City Council to include the rights of way for Booth Street and the portion of Mill Run Road as seen on Attachment B, and to approve the modified annexation and rezone, that was their recommendation to the council. As noted previously, the decision to include the mentioned right of ways is at the discretion of the city council. Staff supports the recommendation by the Planning Commission. Additionally, there was an issue raised at the Planning Commission regarding the provisions of Junction City Municipal Code Section 17.165.020. which addresses the non-remonstrance agreement for property owners agreeing to pay for all costs for extending city services. The applicant's attorney was present at the Planning Commission meeting and agreed that the waiver agreement will be provided. This requirement is included in the findings before the City Council. But they consisted, there's, we have more exciting information. Chapter 4 of the comprehensive plan deals with economic development. The city's three objectives with respect to economic development are to provide large industrial sites to meet a regional need, increase employment in one of the regional industry clusters, and recruit businesses that have higher than average wages. The city will need to provide a varying range of sites to accommodate these needs. As seen in Table 4.2 in your packet, the city will require three industrial zone sites that range from 2 to 5 acres by 2029. And by the end of 2029, we'll need 15 sites in total of varying sizes. This annexation alone provides those three industrial sites that range from 2 to 5 acres. Chapter 6 of the comp plan deals with transportation, as does Goal 12 of the Oregon Statewide Planning Goals. To address Chapter 6 and Goal 12, staff reached out to the ODOT staff for assistance. When a zone change or annexation is proposed, the Transportation Planning Rule, or TPR, requires local governments to demonstrate that amendments to adopted plans and regulations will not be significantly affected existing or planned transportation facilities. To determine whether or not the amendment will have significant effects, a significant effects analysis or formal traffic study is required. However, this requirement can also be met by local governments if development was contemplated and forecasted on properties in the adopted TSP. This essentially means that if a city, through their TSP, had already taken into account further redevelopment that may occur on a property and how it affects the transportation system, then it can be found to be compliant with the TSP. As you've seen in the staff report, the city's TSP did take into account future development on the subject property, so no formal significant effects analysis, or TIA, was required of the applicant. However, it must be stated that upon this site development, a formal traffic study will be required by the developer. Lane County is also asking for this study once development occurs. Chapter 7 of the comp plan deals with public facilities. This chapter says that when development is proposed for a particular property, key urban facilities and services will either be immediately available or will be extended in an orderly manner. Any development will be required to demonstrate adequate water and sewer capacity are available. The Public Works Department has indicated that water and sewer lines in Dreas Way can be extended to serve the subject property. In Dreas Way, there are an existing 21-inch sewer line and 24-inch water line that are available for service. Lastly, I just wanted to briefly talk about Goal 5, which deals with natural resources. As it relates to wetlands on the property, the city does have a mapped wetland feature on the property. This is wetland FC-02. Per the city's local wetland inventory, DLS regulations allow for the limited wetland fill and removal on this 18-acre farmland wetland feature. DSL regulations provide the flexibility necessary to create suitable industrial land in the southern portion of the urban growth boundary. Any development on the subject property will be required to adhere to the requirements of DSL and the Army Corps of Engineers. As I previously mentioned, I'd like to draw your attention to two referral comments received on this application. The first is Lane County. Their transportation department has reviewed the proposal and requests that the abutting right-of-way of Bruce Street and a portion of Mill Run be included from the station. They stated that the transportation system is a key urban service and is necessary to support development of the properties. The other comment is from DSL, the Division of State Lands. Based on their preliminary review, there are jurisdictional wetlands on the property and that a wetland delineation is recommended and that a permit and associated mitigation are required for removal or fill of 50 cubic yards or greater. DSL requirements will be required at the time of actual site development. And going on to the city council options. After the public hearing is held by the council and the deliberations have concluded, the council will make a final decision by city council has options for actions on the request before you. You can determine that to approve the annexation and zone change as submitted. You could modify the annexation area to include only Booth Street right of way, or modify the original annexation to include the rights of way of both Booth Street and Miller Road as recommended by the Planning Commission. Oregon law allows cities to modify annexations to include or remove territory, and that includes rights of way. Staff does support the Planning Commission's recommendation to include both Booth Street and the portion of Mill Run Road and to approve modified proposals. The zoning to be applied, if approved, will be light industrial. Thank you for your attention and patience, and I am available to answer any questions.
Are there any questions from the council?
I have one question.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you for your time and the presentation, Paula Taylor. I'm curious, did you say that the frontage will be required by the city be improved whether or not we require the annexation of the right-of-ways?
That is a true statement. The county has, the transportation portion of county has indicated that their preference would be that the adjacent portions of Booth Street be annexed to simplify the development process. However, there are provisions in their code that would allow them to coordinate with the city to ensure as much as they could that the streets, that Booth Street would be developed to city standards.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions for Paula? Hearing none. Thank you very much, Paula. I appreciate this. And I'm sure the council does. Move on to the applicant testimony. Is there any applicant testimony? And if so, please state your name and address for the record.
Good evening, Your Honor, City Council. My name is Mike Reeder. I'm the attorney for the applicant, Indar and Heidi Bond. First of all, I'd like to thank LCOG staff and Junction City Planning staff, Ms. Andrews, for a complete and thorough staff report. They've basically replicated to a certain extent what was presented to the Planning Commission. In terms of the request was for the property that was shown in green, but during the Planning Commission there were questions about whether or not the request should, or the annexation would include the other rights of way. As far as the applicant is concerned, the applicant has no concern one way or another. They're indifferent as to whether or not the rights of way are included as part of the annexation application. I would note that if you do bring in the rights of way, Booth Street would then be adjacent to other property, industrial property, to the east, and that would then give that property owner the flexibility to request annexation and develop per city standards. So that's another consideration for the city council. I don't have any other comments. Most everything that we discussed was with staff during the Planning Commission hearing, I believe, has been covered today in the staff report, but I am available for any questions that city council may have.
Does any of the council have questions? Doesn't look like it. Thank you. Okay,
thank you.
We'll now go to any public testimony for those who are in favor of this annexation. For all people testifying, please state your name and address for the record. Is there any testimony for those in favor? Are there, and I guess there's no questions. The neutral testimony, is there any people wanting to testify? And if so, state your name and address for neutral testimony. Nobody from Jason, nobody from outside, okay. Now we'll go to public testimony. Is there any testimony for those opposed? Okay. Not hearing any, is there any additional comments from staff? Okay. Does the applicant have any final comments or your representative?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. Are there any further questions of any kind from any of the council?
I just would like to make a comment if I could.
Yeah.
I did go to the Planning Commission meeting, and it was very well explained, and I certainly appreciated that. So please pass that along to Heidi. I appreciated everything that they did. My main concern was if anybody had any problems with it, and they did not. So, Terry did good.
Yeah, on behalf of the whole council, I'd like to thank Planning Technician Andrews, Elcog, and Paula Taylor for all, because this was very well done. Are there any further questions for anybody from the council? If not, I will now close the public hearing and record at 7:03 p.m. Now we'll go to deliberation and decision. Is there any further deliberation by the City Council? No. Would the Council like to proceed with the reading of the ordinance? We can either do it the full thing again, or we can do it by title only, but we need a motion for that.
Madam Mayor, do we need to discuss which option we want to go with?
Yes.
As far as the right-of-ways before we do the motion?
Yep. Is that right? Do we need the reading of it before we do any deliberations,
yeah,
Mark?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. You need to figure out what option you're going to go for, and that'll be part of the reading
okay.
of the ordinance by title.
All right. Well, we had in our packet suggestions, so... what is the council's? What would you rather? Your druthers.
Madam Mayor?
Mm-hmm.
I'm in favor of option three, which would take care of the applicant's property, Bond Street, and certain portions of Mill Iron Road. I think that was also the recommendation of the Planning Commission. I think it makes it a more complete package for everybody, for the city, and for the people that are. On the effects of the property.
How does the rest of the council feel?
I agree with Kim.
Okay.
I agree with that also.
I'm seeing nods of heads. Okay. So we will go with number three, and I'll turn it over to Mark. To our attorney, I'm sorry.
So Do we need to, do I just read this by title only?
No, you need to read it full.
Okay. And ordinance number one, an ordinance approving the annexation and rezone of tax lots 3400, 3500, 3600, and 3700 of Lane County Assessor's Map 16-04-20-00. Whereas the City of Junction City seeks to annex and rezone tax lots 3400, 3500, 3600, and 3700 of Lane County Assessor's Map T16SR04W S20, described more particularly in the legal description attached and incorporated as Exhibit A, the property. And whereas on August 27, 2021, the owners of the property, the applicants, initiated a Type 4 annexation and rezone. The property is designated industrial on the city's comprehensive plan designation map and will be rezoned from Lane County Zoning Heavy Industrial M3 to City Zoning Light Industrial M1, a zoning compatible with the city designation of industrial as authorized by Junction City Municipal Code Sections 17.145.010 and 17.165.080. And whereas the city provided notice of the proposed annexation and rezone and held public hearings before the Planning Commission and City Council as required by JCMC Sections 17.165.100 and 17.150.070, subsection A4D. And whereas the Junction City Planning Commission recommended conditional approval of the proposed annexation and rezone to the City Council at its public hearing on October 20th, 2021. And whereas applicants will satisfy the Planning Commission's condition of approval by providing the city with a non-remonstrance agreement prior to the effective date of this ordinance per JCMC 17.165.020, subsection B. And whereas the City Council held a public hearing on December 14th, 2021 and determined that the proposed annexation and rezone of the property are consistent with the requirements of JCMC and the Junction City Comprehensive Plan, as explained in the findings of fact attached and incorporated as Exhibit B. Now, therefore, the City of Junction ordains as follows. Section 1, the City Council of the City of Junction City hereby declares the territory described in the attached Exhibit A, Option 3, annexed to the City of Junction City without withdrawal from any special district. Section 2, the property is hereby rezoned from Lane County M3, Heavy Industrial, to City M1, Light Industrial, and the City of Junction City official zoning map is hereby amended to reflect the property's new zoning. Section 3, the City Council of the City of Junction City hereby adopts the findings in the recitals above and the attached findings and facts set forth in Exhibit B as the basis for its decision to annex and rezone the property. Section 4, the City Recorder is hereby authorized and directed to 1. Make and submit to the Secretary of State of Oregon, the Assessor of Lane County, the County Clerk of Lane County, and the Department of Revenue State of Oregon a certified copy of this ordinance, and 2, provide notice of the final adoption of this annexation ordinance to the owners of the property and anyone who participated in the public hearing and anyone who requested notice of this decision. Section 5, this ordinance shall take effect on the 30th day after its enactment, read in full for its first reading on the 14th day of December 2021.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, I would entertain a motion to read the ordinance number one by title only after this.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I make a motion to read ordinance one by title only.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay, we'll go by ordinance read by title only. And Now I would entertain a motion to adopt or...
Wait, we've got to do...
Okay, you've got to do it again, I'm sorry.
So ordinance number one, and ordinance approving the annexation and rezone of tax lots 3,400, 3,500, 3,600, and 3,700 of Lane County Assessor's Map 16-04-20-00.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Okay, now, is there a motion to adopt ordinance number one?
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance number one.
Do you hear a second?
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded that we adopt ordinance number one. And we'll go by roll call on your vote for this. Councillor Washburn?
Yes.
Councillor Thomas?
Yes.
Councillor Gambie?
Yes.
Councillor Leach?
Yes.
Councillor Seneca?
Yes.
And Councillor Wells?
Yes.
Okay. And it is approved unanimously. And thank y'all. Mark. Appreciate that. Now we will move on to the audit presentation for the fiscal year 2020 and 2021. And Mr. Gatlin Hawkins.
Good evening, members of the City Council and Mayor. It is a pleasure to be here and to be invited to present the results of our audit conducted for the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2021. During our audit, we apply a series of procedures to transactions and balances of the city, including analytical procedures, sampling, in which we select a statistically representative sample of transactions entered into and review those for accuracy. And also testing of internal controls around those transactions. Management is responsible for the selection and use of appropriate accounting policies and ensuring that all transactions and balances of the city are recorded in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles, utilizing the modified cash basis of accounting for the city. The modified cash basis of accounting primarily recognizes revenues, expenses, assets, and liabilities resulting from cash transactions, adjusted for certain modifications that have substantive support in generally accepted accounting principles. In addition to the financial information contained in the financial statements, there are also a significant number of disclosures included that provide additional information about those balances that are presented, as well as other significant items that affect the city's financial position. Specifically, those disclosures relate to the pension liability for the city and how that's calculated and measured, as well as certain tax abatement activity related to the enterprise zone in the city. During our audit, we did not encounter any difficulties in dealing with management while we were performing our testing. We didn't have any disagreements with management regarding accounting, financial reporting, or auditing matters, and we did not discover any material misstatements. So when we say material misstatements, I think it's important to note that we don't offer 100% assurance on the accuracy of the financial statements. It is possible that there could be small errors included, but no errors that are so significant that it would cause anybody to be misled by reading the statements. Are there any questions on that? That is kind of something fairly unique to auditing.
Does anyone have questions? Yes, yes, Councillor Gambie.
I'm just kind of curious how it works. So when you say you ask for certain transactions, could you just tell us a little bit more about that? Like you said, a statistically representative sample of
Yes, so as we perform our audit, we develop a threshold that we call materiality, where if we were to detect an error above that amount, we would consider the balance to be incorrect. And we would be required to be corrected, or we would issue an opinion saying that the financial statements are not accurate. To select a sample of transactions, we obtain the general ledger detail, which is a list of all of the transactions that occurred during the year we audited from the finance department. We agree that to the trial balance that we use to assemble the financial statements. And then we'll select from that any items that are in excess of a portion of that materiality threshold. And we will test all of those large items, which we call individually significant items. And then from the remainder of that, we will select at random or haphazardly a selection of those smaller transactions, and we'll review the source documents for those to make sure that they went through the correct process and were recorded accurately. And so we don't look at every single transaction, we look at all the big ones, and then a subsample or a selection of the smaller ones.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
All right.
Mm-hmm. Don't.
In addition to the testing that we perform, at the conclusion of our audit, we request that management provide us with a representation letter. And in that representation letter, it's the final assertion from management that they've provided us with access to all of the records and personnel that we've requested. That they have made known to us any significant events or any significant events that could affect the financial statements and require disclosure, as well as certifying to management's design of internal control and its adequacy for preventing or detecting and correcting misstatements. In addition to testing the transactions that are disclosed here, we also perform certain procedures required by Oregon minimum standards as required in the ORS. Specifically, we look at the method through which the budget is proposed, adopted, and implemented, the investment of public funds, use of fuel tax revenue, and public contracting. And in all of our testing of those compliance requirements, we did not notice any instances of noncompliance. And so we're issuing a report that is at the back of the financial statements related to that testing that we performed. In addition to looking at the compliance and the adequacy of the accuracy of the financial transactions, we also consider internal controls that are put in place at the city. And so we will review controls over all significant account transaction cycles, how cash is received and dispersed for payroll, materials and services, capital outlay, how cash accounts are reconciled throughout the year, and we'll walk through some of those transactions, make sure those controls are being implemented as we would expect, and we'll also test those controls. So we looked at, probably close to 100 different expense transactions to make sure that they were all correctly approved and authorized prior to the checks being written. So during our audit, we did not become aware of any significant deficiencies or material weaknesses in controls that would be indicative of a breakdown in controls that could potentially lead to a misstatement. Under professional standards as well as Oregon law, any time we notice a significant deficiency or a material weakness in controls, we're required to bring that to the attention of those charged with governance, being City Council and the mayor. We do not provide an opinion on the internal controls of the city. Are there any additional questions at this point?
Anyone have questions?
I have one.
Yes, Councilor Gabby.
What do you mean by, you said you reviewed the investment of public funds? That's one of the standards that you're reviewing. What does that mean in terms of our city?
Yeah, so really that standard is going to be more applicable to larger cities or cities that have a more diverse investment portfolio. Okay. There are certain state statutes that restrict the types of investments which can be purchased or made by municipal corporations, such as, you know, investing in certain bonds that they have to have a certain rate credit rating. Here, I believe we're invested primarily in depository accounts with financial institutions and the local government investment pool, which any investment of any amount is allowed in LGIP.
Oh, okay. Sure. Got it.
Thank you.
Anything else for anyone?
All right. Just finally, the city, in addition to preparing financial statements as required by Oregon state law, the city also receives the Government Finance Officer Association's Award for Excellence in Financial Reporting on a cash or modified cash basis. Sorry, this mask is something else. The city received that award for last year's financial statements, and this year's award financial statements will be submitted for that award as well, and we expect that it will be received. And overall, the city's financial condition increased $1.36 million during the year, and the city has a ending cash balance and net position of $18.3 million at June 30th, 2021. And that is my report. So if there's any final questions, I can answer those.
Anyone have any further? Hearing none, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And thanks also to Director Crocker. Appreciate this and the fact that we are in such good standing financially. Now we'll move on to the capital expenditure plan. Says Director Capping on here.
Thank you, ma'am. So this is a request for the City Council to modify the existing Public Works Capital Expenditure Plan. We have an Administrative Policy 7.01, the Capital Expenditure Plan Creation Process. So Public Works is requesting to make two changes in the Water, Sewer, and Streets Department in their Capital Plan. As you know, we've purchased a backhoe on a lease this year, and this year was the year to replace the sewer grinder at the lagoon. So the cost of the sewer grinder went up, so I want to reflect that in the capital expenditure plan, so whoever follows me doesn't have to hunt for money. And then I want to include the backhoe in there for the same reason. That way, in that capital expenditure plan, the payment comes out the first payment in July. That way, again, whoever follows me doesn't have to hunt for money. It's already in that plan, and it just gets paid out of that plan every year. So there is a motion there if you so agree to approve this.
Hey, does anyone have questions?
I just have.
Yes, and
we had discussed this at one of our other council meetings, and this is going to save us money.
We discussed this at Public Works Committee.
Yeah, okay. And it's going to save us money in the long run doing it this way.
Well, you don't have to hunt for it. It's there.
There.
So, you know, if you don't put it in there, then you got to hunt in your operating fund to find that money and maybe not do something else. So,
thank you.
It's not a big expense effect on us. We're going to pay it anyway, so I'd rather put it there where I know it can get paid whether I'm here or not.
Thank you.
Anyone have any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I could entertain a motion. Yes.
I make a motion to approve the capital, to update the capital expenditure plan.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the updated capital expenditure plan. And we will, is there any comments before we go to the vote? Okay, hearing none. We'll do Councilor Wells. How do you vote?
Yes.
And Councilor Leach?
Yes.
Councilor Gamby?
Yes.
Councilor Thomas?
Yes.
Excuse me. Sorry. Councilor Seneca, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Evan will put it.
Counselor Washburn.
Yeah, I was going to say, Counselor Wa-, I'm sorry, I'm having,
Are you all right, madam?
No. It's been approved unanimously.
Hold on, let's just, can we take a break for a second? Are you okay?
Yeah, I just got,
What's wrong?
Inhaler.
Okay, just slow down. Okay, slow down.